because we come from print magazines and have all of that experience, I think that we're doing something a little bit unique in that we, you know, we have our 25 years or 10,000 hours or whatever of becoming experts at producing print magazines. And so when we looked at doing digital, we never even considered doing anything but a magazine. I feel comfortable there. I love them. And it's where my expertise is.
Welcome to It's All Journalism. I'm Michael O'Connell, here with another podcast about digital media and those who produce it. Today, I've got a little bit of a treat. This is a podcast about podcasting and digital publishing. If you've been listening recently, you know that I've been in the process of writing a book about podcasting. On the phone with me today is Margaret Brown, the editor of Podster, a digital magazine about podcasting. Welcome, Margaret.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, this is an opportunity for me to sort of bring together the two worlds of a podcast about journalism and a magazine, which is a journalistic product about podcasting, which is kind of cool, I think, in a very nerdy sort of way from my perspective.
But sure.
So anyway, you and I met at Podcast Movement in Chicago. And first of all, you know, what was your experience at Podcast Movement?
Well, this was the second Podcast Movement that I'd gone to. I went to the one in Fort Worth last year. And last year, I just went as an attendee, and I learned a lot, and I was really excited by all the excitement about podcasting and sort of the feeling that it really is a movement. And so this year, we went as a vendor. We had a table and a presence there. My business partner went with me. And we were just there to get the word out about our new magazine, Podster, but also to get to know all the different podcasters and meet them and learn what their podcasts are. So we met a ton of people with a ton of different really cool podcasts, from, you know, Border Patrol guys who do a podcast to people doing podcasts about global, make the world better kind of things, and you know, food and sports and comedy and everything. And it was really fun. Lots of podcasts to follow up on in the next few weeks.
Yeah, and it's kind of neat to see the variety of podcasters that were there, the people who were doing different types of shows. I had a really great conversation with a guy from Western New York who does he's a fireman. He does a podcast about firemen, which was kind of cool. And there were a few other people, too, that it was, you know, it's always neat to see the variety of things that, you know, that people are passionate about and telling stories about. And also getting to see the different levels, people who are very successful, people who are just starting out, people who have, you know, maybe different sort of approaches and goals about what they want to achieve with their podcast. So very enthusiastic you come away with that. So first of all, tell me about your journalist journey. I mean, how did you end up, because you've been a journalist before, and how did you end up being the editor of Podster, a magazine about podcasting?
Yeah, so I had been a magazine editor at National Magazines for 25 years when I launched Shelf Media in 2010. And I had always been on the editorial side and had no thought of jumping to the publisher side. But when the iPad was coming out and digital magazines were kind of starting to happen, I just got really excited about the possibility. And I did a lot of research on it, went to the owner of the magazine I was working on at the time, and tried to interest him in doing some digital one-offs. And he wasn't interested because, as he said, no one else is doing it. And I said, well, everyone will be doing it soon, which wasn't exactly true, but I just was hooked. And so I realized that without the costs associated with launching a print magazine, so without the costs of printing paper, postage, which are just exorbitant and make it very difficult to launch a successful magazine, I realized that without those costs, I could jump it to the publishing side as well. And so my business partner and I launched digital magazine Shelf Unbound, indie book review magazine, in 2010. And we've been publishing that every other month for 6 years. And our goal was to sort of perfect the model of how to make a digital magazine profitable and how to attract readership and grow that readership. And our plan was that once we had a successful, you know, kind of first magazine launch, that we would launch other titles. And so we got to that point. Shelf Unbound is read by 125,000 people, primarily in the United States, but also in 75-plus countries around the world. We distribute it for free, and we make our money through ad sales. And for Shelf Unbound, our ad sales are primarily self-published authors, and we're delivering to them a large audience of people interested in indie literature. Shelf Unbound has been nominated for the Maggie Award for Best Digital Magazine every year that it's existed. And in 2015, we won, and we also, Shelf Media won in 2016. So we've got a good model. And last year, the year before, I really kind of was late to the game in terms of podcasts. I started listening to podcasts when Serial became popular. But once I listened to Serial, then I loved the podcasting format, and I started listening to all kinds of podcasts and was, you know, going from listening to radio all day to listening to podcasts all day. And I just became really interested in the medium. We've launched a fledgling back burner, very small podcast network. So I have the experience of producing my own podcasts, which got me to podcast movement last year. And we decided that we would launch a magazine about podcasts. Now, our magazine is targeted to listeners of podcasts. And obviously, we have a lot of podcast creators who subscribe to Podster, but we're really following the same model. So we're going to get it out to a large number of listeners. We're going to curate the best of podcasts, large and small, and we're anticipating that our advertisers are going to be podcasters who are new to the game, who are looking to grow their audience.
And your audience, you say, are our podcast listeners. So I guess the idea is that, like you, you know, maybe they got hooked on a particular podcast, but they don't know what else they might like. And this is sort of a platform for them to, you know, like old magazines, the approach was to introduce people to new and different content.
Right. So our format right now is we do four big interviews in every issue. Two of those are with people who are well-known. So like we've done Alex Goodman from Reply All, Gretchen Rubin from Happy with Gretchen Rubin, Anna Sale, Death, Sex, and Money. So we're trying to do two kind of well-known people to kind of draw people in. And then we have two unknown or lesser-known podcasters that we do interviews with. And then we do reviews and roundups. And, you know, we're really trying to, you know, bring to the fore great podcasts that you know, might never have heard of. And so we've been able to do that with our book review magazine, and we're following that same model with the podcast magazine.
So are you producing all the content in-house? Are you using freelancers at all or anything like that?
Yeah, we produce 90% of it in-house. We have some contributing editors. We've got Colin Miller from Undisclosed. Undisclosed, if you don't know, is the kind of follow-on to Serial. They pick up the Adnan Syed case where Serial left off, and Colin Miller is one of the co-hosts of that show, and he's been contributing a column to Podster since we launched, where he takes a look at some new information or reveals some new information about the Adnan Syed case. And then Undisclosed has just launched their second season, and they're taking a look at other cases that also explore the criminal justice system.
That's a pretty neat idea that you're taking a podcast or something else that it's already getting a lot of attention, and using that as a way for people to get sort of attention. Oh, if you like that podcast and what they're doing there, he also writes a column for us. You know, maybe you want to subscribe to that as well.
Yeah, and I'm like the other 100 million people who've listened to Serial. I'm fascinated by the case and by questions about fairness in the criminal justice system in general. And Colin Miller is an attorney and a really intelligent guy. And so that's one of the columns in our magazine that I really enjoy. And we've also got some other contributors that are podcasters that are reviewing other podcasts or, you know, and I had a bunch of people, not a bunch, but I had a handful of people at Podcast Movement ask me about potentially contributing. But largely, we're produced in-house. And with our book review magazine, we've really become known for our the quality and depth of our interviews and also for our design. And so with Podster, we're doing the same thing of really focusing on having high quality, interesting interviews, and, you know, a really nice design.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the design, because when we were talking in Chicago, that was one of the things I remarked on. I didn't get a chance to talk to your art director who was there as well. But
right.
I mean this is an online magazine. This is something you can download and look at with your iPad and another tablet. You can look at it on your phone. And so is this. Being a digital guy, my question is, why go down this route as opposed to say, I'm coming up with a website that's going to do this. You know, why did you want to sort of design a product for a platform?
Sure. Well, I'm a magazine person, and so is my business partner. We both have had our careers in magazines, in print magazines. I have loved magazines since the time I could read. I've subscribed to magazines. I always read every single magazine my parents subscribed to. And I just have always loved the format. And so that's my passion. It's my experience. And so that was where we wanted to go. We also felt like, you know, because we come from print magazines and have all of that experience, I think that we're doing something a little bit unique, and that we have our 25 years or 10,000 hours or whatever of becoming experts at producing print magazines. And so when we looked at doing digital, we never even considered doing anything but a magazine. I feel comfortable there. I love them, and it's where my expertise is. And, you know, I think we bring a quality of design and editorial to it that, you know, some online things don't have, because I think some of the things that people don't have the years and years of experience that we have. So we kind of fell into a really nice spot of being, you know, having a lot of time in traditional publishing, but being very interested in digital.
Okay. It wasn't meant as a criticism. I was just curious as to why you went down that route, because it is a beautiful product, and it does have the design element in it. And then, you know, again, that's one of the things you lose sometimes with a lot of the websites, are that, you know, they're very functional, but they don't always not as pretty, I guess, as a magazine. It's not so, there's something to be said about that experience of turning pages and looking at pages that are really well crafted.
The other part of that is, when digital magazines first came out, I remember I saw a prototype of a digital Sports Illustrated, and it was really cool because it had all these bells and whistles, and it took you here to a video, and it took you here to a poll, and it took you here to something else. And it was really cool, but it wasn't what I wanted to do. I wanted to retain the magazine experience. I wanted you to feel like you were reading a print magazine, that it didn't feel like you were at a website. And so we have some interactivity, but we've really tried to maintain sort of the feeling of being in a traditional magazine.
Okay. All right. And what is the feedback that you've gotten for both about this sort of approach for both magazines?
We've gotten great feedback. People, you know, like I said, Shelf Unbound reaches 125,000 people. And so, you know, that's the beauty of being digital and being distributed for free, that we can reach a huge audience. Now, with Podster, we've gotten an even more welcome response, because what I'm hearing from the community is that a lot of people in the community really feel like Podster is kind of needed, that there needs to be a curator, that there needs to be, you know, an entity that's promoting podcasts out to potential listeners. And so we've gotten a really warm response. When we put our first issue out, so we've put out three issues. We're putting out our fourth issue next week. And when we put out our first issue, I had some people contact me, which I'm really grateful for, who had been in the podcasting space for, you know, 10 or 12 years. And their feedback to me was, you're featuring the well-known podcasts, the podcasts that are kind of at the top of iTunes. That's only 3% of what's out there. And you really need to make a huge effort to learn about, discover, and represent the 97% that are not getting media coverage or not at the top of the iTunes charts. And that was really valuable to me. And so while that was our intention sort of in the back of our heads, it really put it at front of mind. And so we've made more of an effort to do that.
Yeah, and that's certainly really valuable. I mean, if you've done a podcast, you know, the people you spoke to have been here for 10 years or so, but you begin to see that there are a lot of podcasts that people just haven't heard about. And so, right. you know, on the one hand, there's no problem with getting eyes on your page by having, you know, Ira Glass on your cover and, you know, interview with him because, you know, he's a big podcaster and everybody knows who he is. But then also featuring content of lesser known podcasts
right.
is more of a service to the community. In that
well, and it's also more of a service to our readers because our readers already know about Ira Glass and they already know about, you know, the bigger podcasts. And what people are really looking for is, okay, I love this podcast. I love listening to podcasts. And, you know, I want to discover new ones that I didn't know about. So it works well for everybody. And it, you know, the more we can be curators and discoverers, the more valuable we're going to be both to the community and to our readers.
Do you have a podcast, like an unusual podcast that you found out about that you think is kind of cool?
Yeah, one of the ones that I'm trying to think what it's called. It's called Between the Liner Notes. And it's this guy named Matthew. I can't think of what his last name is, but he's got I think it's Matthew Billy. He just emailed me after he saw our first issue and he said, hey, I've got this podcast. Would you check it out? And he sent me an episode that was about the ukulele guy, Tiny Tim, mm-hmm. from the 60s, who used to be on Laugh-In and yeah. stuff like that. And the podcast was probably 40 minutes, and it was extremely well produced and crafted, and it was about Tiny Tim's life and career, and I would not have thought that I would have been riveted for 40 minutes about Tiny Tim, but I was. I learned about him. It was really well put together. It was great storytelling. And so I interviewed Matthew, I think, in our second issue. But those kind of things are really exciting to me because there are people out there, and, you know, this guy, he's now on a network, on Goat Rodeo Network, but I think previously he was just kind of on his own, and he's just doing his own thing, and he's following his own passion and interests and, you know, really well-crafted storytelling. And, you know, very interesting subject matter at the end of the day. You know, there's a ton of those out there that are yet to be discovered. And that's my great joy is to find them.
Let me ask you a little bit about your, you know, experience before sort of going from print to digital. You know, was there a wake up call for you at some point where you realized that, you know, it was time to leave print behind and sort of, you know, blaze a new trail in digital?
I really sort of serendipitous for me. I had been at the job that I was at for 7 years and had been really looking, you know, at a point in my career was kind of looking to see what the next thing was. And I'd done magazines. I'd done national magazines. There wasn't really any particular place that I felt like I really wanted to go. And I was trying to figure out my next thing and had been for a few years. And then when digital started to happen, you know, it sort of married my kind of techie brain and my geek brain with my magazine brain. And for me, it was just this perfect moment of, you know, my particular personal interest. And so I went for it. And I think that if the company that I had been, that I was at, the magazine that I was at, if they had been interested in pursuing digital and, you know, we had been allowed to do it there, I might still be there. It had never occurred to me to launch my own magazine because, as we discussed previously, it was just prohibitively expensive. And so it had never been in my brain. And then when digital happened and I saw that I could bring my magazine experience, I knew that I could create an excellent product. And I thought that, you know, we could do well with it. I didn't really have any idea what that was going to be like, but I really believed in it. And so it was not a hard decision to make to leave my job and start this company.
So part of what we do in our podcast here is we try to think of, you know, lessons that we can sort of impart to some of our listeners. And as an editor of an online magazine, you know, Two questions come to mind. One, what would you recommend to somebody who'd wanted to launch a product of their own? And then two, you know, what about people who just want to like sort of pitch ideas? What's the best way to go about that?
Yeah. So the first thing is, you know, I think that the thing that distinguishes us is, well, a couple of things, but primarily the quality of our publication in terms of the editorial and the design. If we did not have the quality that we have, we would not be where we are. There's so much media out there. There's so much for people to consume. It's very hard to stand out. And you've got to start with quality. And that starts with how you look. And so that's really, really key. You know, we had a vision that, you know, really worked out with us for our Shelf Unbound, which was that as bookstores started to close, and as Amazon became the place where people were primarily buying books and the primary curator for books, we felt like there were a lot of books that were fantastic coming from small presses and from self-published authors that were never going to see the light of day, and that that was going to be our niche, that we were going to bring those to the fore. And so our timing was nice. The self-publishing revolution had been taking off before we started, but really over the last 6 years that we've been publishing Shelf Unbound, that number of self-published books continues to rise exponentially. And that's really been our target for advertisers. And so that's worked out nicely for us. And then, you know, I think the same thing with Podster. I've learned any number of lessons on how to do this. And anybody that wants to launch a digital magazine, I'm happy to share everything I've learned, which I can condense into about 30 minutes. It took me 6 years to learn, but I'm always happy to share. I'm always happy to share that with people because, you know, I've learned a lot. I know a lot about it, and I always am happy to share that with people. So anybody that wants to talk to me, just shoot me an email. It's margaret@shelfmediagroup.com, and I'd be happy to tell you what I've learned. The second thing in terms of pitching story ideas, people can email me directly. It's margaret@shelfmediagroup.com, either for the book review magazine or for Podster. And I just remind people, particularly for Podster, that we're targeting, while we have readers who are podcasters, we are targeting our editorial to listeners. So we're not a how-to, we're not an industry magazine. We're really targeting listeners of podcasts.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, as somebody who is writing about podcasting, who's covering this industry, a couple of things about where you think things are going. Well, first, what do you think makes a good podcast? What appeals to you about podcasts?
I really like good storytelling and good interviewing. And, you know, I listen to podcasts that are tightly produced. I listen to podcasts that are just conversations that go on for an hour. You know, I like people who are passionate about their subject matter, and I like to learn something either about somebody or about the world or about a fact. And, you know, I enjoy listening to intelligent people talking about subjects that are of interest to them.
You know, podcasting has come a pretty long way in, you know, the 10, 15 years it's really kind of been around. And you mentioned you got interested with Serial, and Serial's already, you know, it's 2 years past, and that had a huge impact and got a lot of eyes on podcasting. Where do you see the industry going?
Yeah, when I was at Podcast Movement last year, one of the keynote speakers had a chart that was, you know, the number of podcast listeners currently, the number of radio listeners currently, and the podcast number was obviously a lot smaller than radio, but the point that they were making was that podcasts are going to take over radio. And I think that's going to happen. I mean, I think there's space for radio, and I think radio will figure it out. But I think that, you know, just anecdotally for myself and people that I talk to that I introduce to podcasts, they start listening, and then they say, that's all I listen to. I want to find more. And I think that, you know, as more and more people discover podcasts and learn about them and how great they are and how you can listen to whatever you want, whenever you want, any subject matter, you can find it. You know, I think that that's just going to grow and grow. I think the problem is going to be that there's so many, and there's so many good ones. How do you keep up with all of that? How do you find, you know, how do you find a podcast that's going to be your next favorite podcast? And so, you know, we're a curator. I think we serve a valuable role. I know there's some other, you know, websites and, you know, lists and all kinds of things. I think those all serve a valuable role. We're also, we've launched the Podster competition for best undiscovered podcast. And we have a small entry fee, and you can, if your podcast has 1,000 or fewer downloads or listens per episode, you're eligible. And we're going to devote an entire issue of Podster next year to the winner and finalists. And we're really excited about discovering, you know, the next great podcast that people want to be listening to.
Cool. Cool. That sounds pretty exciting. It sounds like a good place to stop as well. Margaret, thanks for talking to me about Podster. People who want to just download it, where do they go?
It's on our website, shelfmediagroup.com.
Okay, cool. And they can sign up and they get the, and again, this is for free. And the,
yeah, so you can sign up for a free subscription there. You can also see all our issues that we've published.
And also not just Podster, but the book.
Shelf Unbound Book Review Magazine is also on there and also for free.
Okay, well, cool. I'm glad we had this conversation. Thanks, Margaret.
Okay, thank you so much, Michael. I really appreciate it.
Next time on It's All Journalism.
When you go to some of the local football tournaments, there's not very many people there. And the way they kind of enjoy their sports is they're drumming along to a drum and maybe just eating a little bit of food, rather than in England, you've got kind of these big songs and raucous chants. And for example, in America, I know at the NBA, you've got DJs going on and you've got big things saying root for the home team and all those kind of things. That doesn't really happen in Qatar.
In our next episode, we talk to Richard Parr, a sports journalist, about what it was like to cover sports in Qatar for 6 years. You've been listening to It's All Journalism, a weekly podcast about the changing state of digital news. Find out more about us and download past episodes at itsalljournalism.com. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and now Google Play. It's All Journalism is produced in partnership with the Association of Alternative News Media. Thanks for listening.